Good evening, folks. Welcome back. Another Wednesday night Bible study. Hopefully you've been able to get the prayer bulletin downloaded from our website. And just remember, please keep praying for those folks that are ill right now. We still have a good number of them. As far as I know, we have three that are in the hospital. And progress is being made with all three. So that's a definite praise here tonight. Specifically, David is doing much better. A couple of people have asked me about him. He just went in yesterday, and already he's responding very well to the treatments that they're giving him. Do have a prayer request to add specifically. Someone had texted me and asked me to include a pastor that they know in central Illinois that has COVID, and that pastor said he would appreciate if we would lift him up in prayers as well as everyone else. So I trust you're doing well, and happy that you're able to be with us tonight. Let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right into our Bible study. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you that you are sovereign. Completely in control, not just in control, but it's your plan that you're controlling. God, help us to trust that when it doesn't make sense to us. It doesn't need to make sense to us. That's why we call it trust. We need to trust you and help us where our trust is weak, not only where, but when our trust, our faith is weak. God, we thank you for what you're doing and going to do through this challenge that you have thrown at us, or not thrown, but allowed us to go through. It's an opportunity, Lord, for us to draw closer to you, to become more molded into your image. So, God, we look forward to you doing that in our lives, and I pray that as we continue to study here tonight, that you would just allow our minds and our hearts to be open to this truth, and not just hear it, but really hear it, absorb it. Let it become a part of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the first topic that we're going to look at tonight, and then each week we'll be taking a different topic, a different ism. I mentioned a bunch of them here a week or two ago. We're going to be taking a new one every week. Tonight, the first one we're going to look at, self-help-ism. Now, could you define it? Let's go ahead and do that. Just a basic definition first. Self-help-ism, it's doing what we can with all of our power to work for a better life for ourselves and others. Okay? Now that's kind of a veiled definition, but let me go ahead and give that to you again. It's doing what we can with all of our power to work for a better life for ourselves and others. Now, that doesn't sound too bad, does it? In fact, it sounds good. Getting better educated, setting goals, working hard to achieve those goals, to better ourselves. That sounds good, but it is self-helpism is more than that. It's more than that when we listen to the message, the messages that are being drummed into our heads. Now, how many of you would say, oh yeah, every week, every day, I just feel like all of these self-helpism messages are getting hammered into my head, and I end the day thinking, oh, I wish all these self-helpism messages would just stop. Well, I don't know anyone that would say that, because the messages are subtle. They're there. We absorb them without even realizing it. Self-helpism. Let me try that again, but we'll unveil that sterilized definition that I gave you earlier. Self-helpism is believing that you can help yourself to do things that only God can do. Now, I added God to that definition, and you're going to see why here in just a moment. It's not a case of the church throwing God in so we can make this bad. You're going to see in just a few moments here how that is the definition of self-helpism. Let me give you a brief history of it. It actually began in the Garden of Eden. But let's not go back that far. We don't have that much time tonight. How about, let's just go back to 1773. Here's a name you'll recognize. Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin wrote in the Poor Richard's Almanac that was published that year, he wrote this statement. You're all going to say, oh, I've heard that before. Here's the statement. God helps those who help themselves. Have you heard that, or maybe some variation of that? Benjamin Franklin first wrote that. He was what we call a deist instead of a theist. As a deist, he believed in a God that created everything, and then it was like he pressed the start button, and now he just sits back and watches it all for entertainment, perhaps. Now, what does that belief do for us, for people? If that is what God did, that means there isn't a God that is wanting to personally interact in our lives. A God that has a plan for our lives, as the Bible teaches. A God that wants to do His plan through us by enabling us to accomplish that plan. Benjamin Franklin's belief means that all you got is you. Make the best of it. After him, there were some other people along the way that kept promoting this concept of self-helpism. We wouldn't recognize them. And then in the early 1900s, there were books being written. Here's one that you may recognize, Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Folks, I have it on my shelf, okay? And how about this one? Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. And then more recent authors, Tony Robbins, Oprah Winfrey, the self-helpism concept. And let me say, it has found its way into our churches as well. Not recently, folks, it's been here for a while. Here's a man, maybe you recognize the name, but don't really know much about him, Norman Vincent Peale. His father was a Methodist minister. He went to seminary, and he pastored several churches. He became a minister himself. He pastored several churches. He started a periodical called Guideposts, and he also wrote the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Now, folks, the first paragraph in the first chapter of that book starts out this way. Believe in yourself. Have faith in your abilities. Now, his teaching was picked up by other pastors. Here's one that you might recognize. Robert Schuller of the Crystal Cathedral out in California. Perhaps one of the first mega churches that ever existed. And then others more currently, like Joel Osteen and others who just preach this idea that you can change your life and have your best life now, so to speak. Listen to what they're saying, not how it makes you feel. That's why self-helpism is so popular, so well accepted, because what's being said makes us feel good. So it must be good. We'll talk more about emotionalism here in weeks to come, but we need to listen to what is being said. The problem is that the people who practice self-helpism, they say good things, they do good things, they may not even realize what they're doing. They say good things, they do these good things, and the things that they say and do make us feel really good inside. But folks, our goal should not be to feel good inside. What should our goal be? Not to feel, but to be more like Jesus. Now, I don't think it's bad to feel good about yourself. In fact, I'm going to say you should feel good about yourself. And here's why. Consider this passage, Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Folks, you are created in the image of God. It's been marred by sin, but you, out of all the things in creation, he said, I want this to be created in my image. And we were created in the image of God intentionally. He did it on purpose. He meant to do it. God loved you so much that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you. And listen to this verse. Psalm 139, verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, while it is true, we are created in the image of God, we are fearfully, wonderfully made, it's also true, no one is good. Now, that totally goes contrary to humanistic philosophy and self-helpism. No one is good. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. In fact, it tells us in Isaiah that all of those good things we do are not good enough. Romans 3:23 tells us they still fall short. We can never realize our full potential, as self-helpism teaches. We can never do that by just trying really hard, because the best that we can try still falls short. We've all sinned. So how do we balance this concept here? Yes, we should feel good that we're created in the image of God, fearfully, wonderfully made, but there's none that does good. We don't want to go overbalance on this. Here, first, we need to be good at spotting self-helpism. My guess is, in the last week, you've heard or seen, or in some way this concept, these messages have entered your mind, either on signs or what people have said or posts on social media. Do you remember the acronym from last week? ROAR, R-O-A-R. Well, the first step, as we looked at last week, was we've got to recognize the message. And this can be tricky, because the message, it does make us feel good and confident and assured. But just because those messages make us feel good does not mean that they are good and even true. Listen to some of the lies that are out there. Now, those should be in your notes, okay, with some blanks. Before we put them up on the screen, I'm wanting to read through all of the examples so we hear them all back to back, all of these messages at once. And I'm going to warn you now, it's going to sound like a graduation speech at a high school somewhere. It really is. Some of these things you will hear at high school graduations, college graduations. You'll see them printed in greeting cards, graduation cards, congratulation cards, whatever. You will see these and recognize these messages. But listen to these messages as I read through the list, and then we're going to look at them one at a time and compare them with what God's Word says. Now, when we're done, I think you'll see how these simple little feel-good encouragements, and when you hear all the different ones I read, you're going to realize that that we are bombarded with these little things. We don't even realize it. But you're going to see how these little encouragements are contrary to what the Bible says. And you're also going to see how tricky they really are about just sneaking in on us. Another author has put together these examples. Let me read them for you before we put them up on the screen. Have faith in yourself. Believe in yourself and you will be able to do anything. Trust yourself. You are good enough, strong enough, and smart enough to do anything you want to. Believe in yourself and you will be successful. Never fail. Love yourself above all. You have the power to change your life. You can do anything you set your mind to. Now, not only have we probably heard a lot of those, but we probably have said those things before. Here's some more. Follow your heart. It's never wrong. Trust your gut, your feelings. They will tell you the right thing to do. You are the master of your own destiny. You choose what you want to be. Now, how many of them have you heard before? By the way, just before we launch into these individually, how many of those did you hear any mention of God? Just want to point that out. Many, many of these messages are influencing us. Let's start with that first one. Have faith in yourself. Have faith in yourself. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now, there's a scripture to line up with the message that the world is giving to us, and they don't match. Jesus is the only one who can save people. No one else in the world is able to save us. Let's look at the next one. Believe in yourself, and you'll be able to do anything. Well, now hold on a second. I mean, you've got to believe in yourself to be confident in order to step out of your comfort zone to try new things, right? And we could easily explain that away, but let's consider what Mark 10:27 says, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. There's God bringing God back into our lives again. See, when these messages come into our minds, we very seldom think of Scripture that would say, no, that's wrong. No, that's wrong. And being able to do that, that's what we call apologetics. Knowing Scripture well enough that we can refute these messages, that's the start, but then also being able to share them with other people. The next one, trust yourself. Jeremiah 17:7, it says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. How about this? You are good enough, strong enough, smart enough to do anything that you want to do. All right. John 15, verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch, listen, cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. That's what God says. The God who created us. Remember, we're created in His image, His creation. He knows what makes us tick. Believe in yourself, and you will be successful. Never fail. Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit, which means depend, okay? Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Depend on God. That's what the Bible says. How about love yourself above all? Now, that one might be an easy one for us to come up with God's word that would refute that message. How about Mark 12:30? It says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." By the way, do you know what the second commandment is? Love thy neighbor as thyself. God never commands us or suggests that we need to put any amount of time or effort into loving ourselves. He knows we already do, okay? We're commanded to put God first, then our neighbor. That's everyone else second, and we're last. The message of self-helpism is love yourself above all. Even above God? How about this one? You have the power to change your life. Ephesians 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think," referring to God, "according to the power," God's power, "that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." We do not have the power to change our lives, but we do have the power from God working in and through us. You can do anything you set your mind to. 1 John 5:5, it says, "Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." How about this one? Follow your heart. It's never wrong. Jeremiah 17:9. Follow your heart. It's never wrong. But God says, and we know this by experience, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? How about trust your gut, your feelings? They will tell you the right thing to do. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to go with what my gut's telling me to do. Okay, well, we don't really talk about guts anymore. With emotionalism that we'll spend some time on here in the weeks to come, we make a lot of decisions based on feelings. Well, I feel like this is the right thing for me. I feel like this is the right thing for me. We're trusting our feelings, our heart. Here's what Proverbs 28:26 says: "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And you are the master of your own destiny, self-helpism would tell us. But Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his step." We are not the master of our destiny. God is sovereign. And as sovereign king, he's not only in control, he has already laid out the plans. It tells us that in the Old Testament, before we were even formed in our mother's womb, our steps were laid out for us. The plan was already laid out before we were even conceived. But these messages of self-helpism, where's God in all of it? In fact, many of them clearly take God's place and put ourselves in that place. You choose who you want to be. And Ephesians 2:10 would tell us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, how should we react? We maybe run. Maybe we should just, because we don't want to fall into this self-helpism trap. So maybe we should just run from all thoughts of hard work and trying to set goals and working hard and personal endeavor. Maybe we should just run from all of that. Well, then we're probably going to slide into laziness in a number of areas. God's word speaks against laziness as well. Where's the balance in the middle? Well, let's consider the fruits of the Spirit. Take your Bibles. Hopefully you have them. Galatians chapter 5. But yes, the references will be on the screen. And we're just going to look at the fruits of the Spirit listed for us there in verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So these things that I just listed, they are fruits. Fruit is something that is produced by something. Okay? In this case, God says that fruit is produced by the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit. Now, all of these things that I just mentioned, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those are all things that we can and we should try and try harder to show kindness, show joy, show more love to others, practice keeping peace. Show patience. Do good things. Show our faith in God. Show gentleness and self-control. Those are good things. And by the way, anyone, saved or unsaved, doesn't matter. Anyone can try harder to do and show and practice those things. To learn how to do these things better, we read God's Word and follow the examples that we have in there. Now, while we can show, practice, and do those things, we can never become those things without God. Because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Only God can change us and make us more loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and full of self-control. We cannot change our hearts apart from God and God's Word. We can only change our behavior. And even that is hard to do without asking God to help us. We control what we do, but God changes who we are. In the Bible, we have examples of those that tried to do it on their own. I think of Rebecca, thought she could help herself, didn't need God. She wanted Jacob to have the best blessing without waiting for God. Peter, he tried to do things himself by trying to stop the Roman guards from arresting and taking Jesus away while they were in the garden together that night. Sarah, she wasn't patient to wait for the baby that God had promised. These people, they had faith in themselves, in their own abilities. They believed they could solve their own problems without asking God for help. Our faith and our belief needs to be in God alone. That's what makes self-helpism so dangerous. There is no God in any of those slogans or statements or thoughts or ideas. There is no God. If we could solve our own problems, we wouldn't need God, would we? We would be our own gods. And that's at the root of this. So, with all of these messages bombarding us every week through all different avenues, how can we gird up the loins of our mind, so to speak, and be watchful for these messages, to see them when they're coming into our eye gate or hear them when they're coming into our ear gate? How can we be watchful for them? Here's how. hide these truths in our hearts. Here's a suggestion, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Memorize it. Let me read that verse for you. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Memorize that. Memorize even perhaps Psalm 121 verse 2, which says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Any of the other verses that we've looked at tonight, take some time. If you can't memorize, I'm not going to tell you to memorize it, okay? It's just a suggestion. But take some time, write them out on a 3x5 card. Read that several times a day, that verse, and think about the message in our world that this verse refutes. If we're going to teach ourselves and learn how to refute the messages in this world so we can not only know where we stand, but able to explain to others why we stand here, we have to know what God's Word says. And we can't know what God's Word said if we haven't packed it away in the front of our mind where we can reach it easier, so to speak. And then I want you to maybe try this week, from now until next Wednesday, when we'll launch into another thought that's out in our culture today. Do this. Look for the self-help-ism messages. I went through several of them tonight. Reread that list so you're familiar with what they sound like. And then look for them this week. Listen for them. People talking. Listen on the radio. Listen. Look at what you're reading in books or articles, on Facebook posts. Okay? Look for the self-help-ism, ungodly self-help-ism messages that are in some posts there. See how many you can find. Just keep track for the week. And then next week, you can take that list and throw it away. You say, Pastor, why would I want to make the list if you're going to make me throw it away? Because making the list is going to show you, wow, these things are really out there. But also what it's going to do is you're going to be looking for it. And God tells us to be watchmen, not asleep at the switch, so to speak. We need to be awake, alert, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Let's have prayer. Father in heaven, God, we thank you so much for the truth that's in your word. Thank you for the opportunity tonight to take this truth, bring it all together and shine it on the messages that are coming at us from this world, from Satan, Lord, who is the prince and the power of this air. Help us, Lord, to protect our minds with the knowledge we've learned here tonight. Not just walk away and forget it, but help us to digest this and chew on it a little while. In Jesus' name, amen. Before I say goodnight, folks, I just wanted to give you an update. I saw it come up on my screen here. Delbert was able to come home from the hospital today. So we're going to end with a big praise right there. Keep praying for everyone else. Have a good night.